Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis. And if you have a Bible question or some life issue you'd like to discuss, we have an open line for you right now because it is Basic Gospel. And we're here to point you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution to each of those situations you might be facing. So give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. 2 Corinthians is just one of my favorite books, especially chapters 3 through 5. It really spells out this gospel of grace, talking about the new covenant, comparing the new covenant to the old covenant, talking about all the things that Paul went through to bring the glory of God in the face of Christ to people wherever he went. And then in chapter 5, he talks about our great hope, that we're going to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. And then he talks about reconciliation, the fact that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting men's sins against them, against us. He talks about, I implore you, I beg you, as God's ambassador, be reconciled to God. And then he goes into chapter 6, and the lead verse in chapter 6 is this: working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. I mean, he has poured out his heart in these first 5 chapters explaining the grace of God, the fullness of God's grace, the wonder and the amazement of God's grace. And then he says, I appeal to you, I beg you, I just, everything in me, don't let this just be an empty message to you. Don't receive it in vain. And Andrew, it seems like there's so many people out there that do receive this in vain. They just look at it as another empty message when indeed it is actual life for them. Is there a way that we can correct that? Is there a way that we can do like Paul did, just beg with every ounce in us the people to receive this reconciliation, to receive this grace, and to let that become their very life?
Yeah, well, I would say that's what Basic Gospel is doing every day. I mean, here we are on the airwaves begging people to pay attention to the greatest message on the planet, and that is this new covenant of God's grace, that you become a new creation through knowing Jesus, that you can end up guilt-free through knowing Jesus, that you get to be close to God, reconciled to God through knowing Jesus. And then you get the privilege of bearing fruit, which is, there's no better life than expressing Jesus. The bearing of the fruit of the Spirit is the greatest way to live on the planet. So here we are every day, Bob. We're begging people to pay attention to this because, you know, you read your history book in eighth grade in order to get to know history, and you memorize your math formulas in order to accomplish a math and be successful with equations and math problems. But there's something unique about this person, Jesus Christ. You get to know about Jesus Christ so that you can know Jesus Christ personally, and then he becomes the door, the gate, the way into a permanent bond with God himself that you never expected. And that's what Paul is saying. We beg you, we implore you, be reconciled to God. Today is the day of salvation. Don't ignore what we're sharing with you. This is not about a historical teacher. This is not about some good principles. This is about the very thing that you have been missing: divine life taking up residence inside of you through Jesus Christ. And that's why this message is so critical, so important, such a big deal. Today is the day, so don't ignore it.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. And this is the greatest message that's ever told. It's a story that we're invited into by the very grace of God, and it's an eternal story. And that's why it's such good news. That's why it's just so astounding in all of its implications. So I can just see Paul just with, you know, veins maybe straining in his neck and forehead. It's like, please, please. please, this is life, folks. Receive it. Receive it in Jesus. It's only by grace. There's going to be no other message better than this. There's going to be no other person better than Jesus that comes your way. Connect with him today, for goodness sakes.
It is Basic Gospel, everybody. Again, Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. We're glad you're here, and we have an open line for you right now at 844-322-2742, both in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. And friends, we've talked a lot about our upcoming seminar, the Simply Grace Conference, and how it will address issues related to law and grace, and that many struggle under every day of their lives. And it surely will, of course, speak to those of you in that circumstance. But what if your life in Jesus Christ at this time is not so much a struggle? What if you're walking daily in the warmth of his love and the surety of your eternal destiny in him? Well, the Simply Grace Conference is the perfect venue to immerse yourself even more deeply into the grace that is seeing you through every day. The truth is, we'll never be able to fully grasp the depth of his grace, so there's no ceiling on what we could learn about God's grace. So join us Friday evening and Saturday, September 6th and 7th, here in Lewisville, Texas. That's the ministry hometown right here in the Dallas area. Information and registration online at basicgospel.net/events. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. And, guys, we had this call that came in overnight from Pat.
Good afternoon. My name is Pat. I'm from Arlington, Texas. I have a question. I was watching a movie the other day, and it was about black Jewish refugees coming out of Ethiopia and fleeing to Israel. So my question is, were the original Israelites, were they of African descent or European descent? Every time you see, like, TV shows, they portray Jews as being European. But were the original Jews of African descent? Thank you. Have a good day, and I love your show.
Thanks, Pat.
Well, Pat, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Now, as far as the biblical story is concerned, it all starts with a man named Abraham, and then goes through Isaac, and then through Jacob. And they were all Middle Eastern descent, right there in Canaan and in that area. They had to flee into Africa during a famine, and they were enslaved in Africa for 400 years. And then they came out of Egypt, entered into the Promised Land, and that's where they were for many years. They were captured and taken to Babylon, and they came back, and then they've been dispersed. After the Roman Empire came, they were dispersed all over the world. So some went east to India and places like that. Some went north into Europe and then made their way over to America, and some went south down into Africa. Mm-hmm. And now, because Israel is a nation, they are calling for Jews from everywhere to come back to Israel. And so we're seeing that. So they're coming from Africa. They're coming from Europe. They're coming from Russia and India and all places. And it is interesting to see. But as far as the Jewish bloodline, I mean, it started with Abraham. And I think we just have to stick right there. That is a person that was from Ur and then came up to Canaan, to where Israel is today. And that's where God met him and got this whole thing rolling.
Yeah. Great answer, guys. And thank you. And, Pat, hope that's a help to you as well. Once again, open lines, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel. Glad you're with us again, everybody. 844-322-2742. Well, guys, we had this email question from Richard. He says, I think highly of the adages and proverbs, have memorized several and try to follow them. I also try, along with my children and family, not to covet, not to bear false witness, not to take God's name in vain, and to avoid stealing from those around me. I'm sure that following this behavioral pattern is not an indicator that I have lost my salvation. But if so, why not? Since we're always told that we are not under the law, but under grace. I find this populist mantra, though true, to be confusing. Surely our efforts to try to behave in more God-honoring ways by following the guidelines I mentioned above should not place our eternal destiny in jeopardy. And yet, from your program, I've never heard, over the decades, this not unreasonable question addressed. That's from Richard, who sent us an email.
Well, boy, that's an interesting question, isn't it, Andrew? Yeah. And how do we answer that? You know, this life that we have, you know, we were crucified with Christ. We no longer live, yet the life we live in this body, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. How does that differ from what Richard is asking about the things that he's trying to do?
Yeah, well, you know, Richard, the bottom line is that when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, I mean, God is never going to lead us to covet. God is never going to lead us to steal other people's stuff. God is never going to guide us into committing adultery. So as far as the end product, you're right that we see the character of God in the Old Testament and in the law. The law is a shadow of things to come. It's not the reality, but it is a shadow. And so we see that the character of who God is displayed in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So, you know, we shouldn't be arguing over the end product. Everybody in their right mind knows that whether it's lying or not lying, well, God's going to lead us to tell the truth. Whether it's stealing or not stealing, that's an easy choice. God is always going to lead us away from the sin of stealing. So if we're not talking about the end product, then what are we talking about on Basic Gospel every day? We're talking about the source. We're talking about where our eyes are fixed. We're talking about where our dependency lies. So we're not arguing over an end product. We're not emphasizing something new and different about the end result. But what we're saying is that people like the Apostle Paul, who once tried their hardest to stay away from coveting by looking to Moses, by looking to tablets of stone, by making that their source, well, they ended up with coveting of every kind. And then Paul discovered the awesome answer that apart from the law, sin is dead. So on Basic Gospel, what we're saying is this: we need to live apart from the law, not making Moses our focus, not making tablets of stone our source, but instead, as 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, looking to a greater ministry, a better ministry, a superior ministry, instead of a ministry of condemnation and death that was written on stone, we are relying on the Spirit of Jesus Christ inside of us. So it's not in Christ's character to steal. It's not in his character to commit adultery. It's not in his character to covet. So why would we turn back to tablets of stone if we have the trustworthy character of Jesus Christ himself living inside of us? So the end product may look the same. It's kind of like that old adage, you got two guys, one of them's dancing, the other one's sort of dancing. One of them's listening to music on headphones. The other guy is just looking over and sort of imitating and trying his best to do some of the same moves. Well, from a distance, it may look like they've both got the music, they're both dancing to the beat, but the reality is only one of them is truly depending on those tunes. Likewise, it does matter. Source matters. Dependency matters. And listening to the music of God's Spirit within us matters, because that's what God is looking for. He wants all attention on the indwelling Christ. He wants all of our dependency on his Son Jesus, not on Moses, not on rules and regulations, but on a personal relationship and connectedness with Christ. And that's what every believer has. So why would we go back to something inferior when we have something better today?
Yeah, great, great answer there. Now, he had a follow. I mean, part of the question was, if somebody is saved and has really come to Christ, has been born again, Christ has come to live inside of them, and then they go back to trying to follow rules and regulations, does that mean they've lost their salvation? And the answer to that is a resounding no, isn't it?
Right. I mean, you know, we do that every so often, if not every second, when we're first born again. I mean, it might be 5 minutes before we're trying to strive and earn again, or we're thinking improperly. We're not setting our minds on the truth. So it's like saying, do we lose our salvation every time we sin? because that's what it is. When we're not depending on Jesus, it's sin. So we don't lose our salvation every 5 minutes or every 5 hours or every 5 days. I mean, we Christians, we're learning and we're growing in the truth. As Romans 12 says, we're getting our minds renewed. So there's lots happening in this adventure called the Christian life. And it's not about gaining and losing salvation every day or every hour, but it is about gaining new perspectives, gaining new outlook, gaining new attitudes, recognizing that the old way of thinking is no good, and Jesus lives in me. He's teaching me a new way to think. And so, you know, my goodness, how many believers have had major mess-ups and ongoing stinking thinking? Well, every single one of us at some point in our lives, we've had that stinking thinking take over. We don't lose our salvation, but for a minute we lose our sanity. We don't lose our salvation, but for a minute we lose our focus. And we need to see the difference, because Jesus said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you, and nothing separates you from the love of Christ.
Yeah, what good news is that? You know, my first 8 years, I tried to live the Christian life through human effort, through all the rules and the regulations, and boy, it was one frustrating experience. And the things I didn't want to do, I did, and the things I did want to do, I didn't do. It was just a whole mess. And that's exactly what Paul tells us, that when we put ourselves under law, then sin, you know, takes that as an opportunity and produces all kinds of desires in and through us. And so if we want to experience the abundance of life, there's only one way to do it. It is by grace through faith in Jesus. We receive it that way, and we live it that way, by grace through faith in Jesus. That is the way of grace. That is how we experience the abundant life.
Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everyone. We have open lines and we have time on the clock. 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Bob, talk to our listeners just a little bit. Reiterate the importance of their support for this ministry.
Well, it's an investment in the power of the gospel to do what only the power of the gospel can do, and that's bring life to those who are spiritually dead, lift guilt and shame and fear off the shoulders of people that are under the weight of that, can be bring rest to the soul. You know, there's lots of needs out there, and we see so many people responding to physical needs. We have people that need food and people who need water, and we respond, and we respond to soulish needs that folks need help in, you know, their jobs and all of these various things, and we invest in all of that, and oftentimes we overlook the spiritual needs, and spiritual needs drive every other aspect of life. Until we get those spiritual needs met, we're going to be a mess in all the other areas of our life. So this is a message. This gospel of Jesus Christ is a message that addresses the spiritual needs of people. It's a message that is spoken heart to heart. It goes deep into a person's inner core and brings peace and rest to the very places that we need it. And when we experience peace and rest deep down, then all the other areas of life start to fall into place.
Yeah.
So invest in the power of the gospel to make a difference in this world, as it connects hearts to the love of Jesus Christ. That's why we need your support. That's why we ask you to give generously to Basic Gospel, so that folks searching for answers can find him in the person of Jesus Christ.
Just click donate at basicgospel.net and request your copy of Gateway to Grace. It's a 6-CD message and with a study guide to help you stand firm in the truth of God's grace. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. Well, guys, this question from Veronica. She says, my daughter and son-in-law have been married for just over 3 years, and she just found out that he has been having an affair with another young married woman for at least the last 6 months. This is the second woman he's been unfaithful with in the short time of their marriage. He says that it is PTSD as a result of what he's seen as a volunteer firefighter, and that's what leads him to be unfaithful. I think that's an excuse, she says. Her daughter has said that she has decided to get counsel and try to work it out, but Veronica wants to know how she can help, or should she?
Good question.
Yeah, it's a heartbreaking situation. And, you know, the as far as helping, I mean, you can't help someone if they don't want help. And so I would say you're going to have to just feel that situation out and really trust the Lord in that for the words that you give. And in the timing of that, you're going to see the Lord say, hey, you know what, hold your tongue and at the right time. When they're looking for answers or looking for help, then fantastic. I'll motivate you and inspire you. And that day may be today. You know, the situation is many times hard for us guys to discern at a distance. But, you know, one thing that's going to have to come up in this, if this marriage is going to be repaired, then there's going to have to be forgiveness. There's going to have to be forgiveness on her side, and there's going to have to really be an admission of a true problem on his side. And so there, as long as there's denial on his side and he's digging in his heels, then, you know, that's resisting what the Holy Spirit would want to do. And as long as she is not in the mode of forgiveness, then, you know, that may not be listening to her heart, because we've got a forgiving heart, guys. I mean, when we came to Jesus, he did not keep that stony heart inside of us. He gave us a forgiving heart. And so we learn to forgive and release the other person, release the debt. I mean, that gentleman owes her respect. He owes her a lot better treatment. He owes her faithfulness. He owes her a consistent relationship and has not given that. And so that's a debt. And she can learn to just say, well, I've got Christ living in me, and I'm a forgiving person in him, so I'm going to release him from that debt. Now, you know, lastly, I would just say that doesn't mean that she turns a blind eye. That doesn't mean that she doesn't set up any boundary. That doesn't mean that she doesn't firmly communicate what she would like in the future from him. Obviously, they need to get in a room with a trusted friend or counselor and talk through all these things. But guys, I would say that forgiveness, that is the number one thing I see. Forgiving the other person, forgiving your spouse, letting them off the hook, and then hopefully that will inspire in him a desire to come clean and be real and be transparent given all that's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Great insight, Andrew. And as far as the mom, just be there. Just love your daughter and encourage her. Talk to her about the gospel, talk to her about the forgiveness that she has in Christ, and let that become a foundation. So we sure appreciate you writing to us and asking that question, and we would love to be kept posted on how this situation transpires, and if we can be of any help to your daughter and her husband, please let us know. We would love to be involved in that.
Sounds like the daughter is certainly open to counseling and to being having the marriage reconciled, put back together, and we hope that the husband is as well. Well, thanks for joining us today, everybody. Want to remind you that we need your help, as Bob Christopher was saying, and I want to home in just a little bit on something that we didn't a moment ago, and that is this wonderful 6-CD audio series called Gateway to Grace. It includes a study guide, and it's a wonderful way for you to enter deeply into the grace of God and understand all that He has prepared for you. So we encourage you to go to basicgospel.net, click donate, and become a partner with us. We would love to have you help us, stand with us side by side to get this message out to as many people as possible by every means possible. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. And between now and tomorrow's broadcast, if you have a question, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742, and you'll probably hear it on tomorrow's broadcast. We'd love to hear from you. So any way you reach out, by email, by phone, social media networks, we would love to hear from you. Again, this is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. We're going to be back same time tomorrow. Hope you have a wonderful week, wonderful evening in the Lord Jesus Christ. And give us a call at 844-322-2742. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.